Thank you for listening to Grace for Eternity Church podcast, where we believe heal the home, heal the world.
All right, well, we've been talking about church on purpose. And church on purpose, the Greek word for church is ekklesia. Ekklesia is the gathering of the saints, and that's what you and I are doing right now is we're gathering together. And Hebrews says that we're doing this to encourage one another. So by you singing, yes, it's singing to Jesus, but it's also singing to one another. So thank you for just encouraging one another. I was listening, and I was just going, thank you, Jesus, for this group that shares burdens together. So thank you for that. Now, we've been talking about sheep. We've been talking about what it means for the good shepherd and following Jesus. This life that you said yes to, you may not have known what you were saying yes to. How many of you, there's some people in this room that you got married and you didn't know what you were saying yes to? Don't look at them. So I think that Jesus is taking us on this journey and we're learning what we really said yes to. We're saying yes to his life. We're saying yes to his way of doing things. And it's not the way the world does things. Says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I believe that's to the good shepherd and the way he thinks about you and I. Amen? So I have a scripture here, and it's Hebrews. And let's go there first. It's Hebrews 5, verse 12. It says, for those that by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child, but solid discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. I want to start off in prayer. So, Father, I just thank you for this word, that it doesn't return void, that our hearts are open to receive what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. My parents were selling everything we had to follow the calling of God that he called us to overseas. And I was a small child, and as we were preparing for this, they went to a training for, like, missionaries. And on this training field in North Carolina, or I can't remember if it was North Carolina or South Carolina. I'll have to clarify my stories with them. But I do remember a goat. And and this goat, they were milking to drink the milk in the mornings. And I remember my dad took the goat and squirted me in the face, and it was the most horrifying moment of my childhood. I don't drink a lot of milk, and maybe that's the reason today. I don't know. There's this heart that the writer of Hebrews has for the church. And some people ask, Pastor Brandon, why do you keep talking about righteousness? Why is that such a big deal to you? And the reason why is because to mature a believer as a shepherd, to get someone to understand their identity is in righteousness in Christ Jesus, I believe, is to mature them, is to grow them up. And I don't know if you guys know this, but I used to watch Star Trek, The Next Generation. And Captain Picard would stand next to his leaders, and he would say, engage. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And the ship would then appear in space, and it would, like, move at Mach speed, right? Or whatever speed that was going in space. I don't know. But when I see grace happening in people's lives and they understand that they're righteous, and when I say they understand that they're righteous, they understand that their spouse is righteous. They look around the church and they see others as righteous. Like, they are skilled in the word of righteousness. I see that ship moving at light speed into the calling and the gift that God has called them to. And so when he says, you know, I wish that you were teachers and skilled in righteousness, he's not saying that everybody starts there. So when we got saved and we began to learn about who Jesus is for us, we're learning that we are also righteous in him. And so we're being skilled in who he says we are. And so the word disciple means learner. And some of us, when we were kids, we loved to learn. Man, I loved to learn. You know, I'd go to school and I thought it was awesome. And there was this point where it's like, I don't know that school's very awesome anymore. Maybe I'd gotten hurt or something. I don't know. But I had to fall back in love with just learning. Maybe that's your story. Maybe you understand that, where there's moments where you just, I don't know if I like to learn as much as I used to. Well, we're never stop learning of who we are in Jesus. The Hebrew writer says that we need to be skilled in a particular area. And it's in the word of righteousness. And he says that when you do this, you'll no longer be drinking milk. But have you ever heard, I've been in church a long time, and they would say, boy, that sermon was really good because it was really full of meat. And with it being full of meat, I want to encourage you that still points to Jesus. Meat is, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christos. Many people thought, and I grew up thinking it was hearing by the word of God, but it's actually the word of Christ. And that's important, because when you hear about Jesus and who you are, faith begins to rise up. If you heard the word of God and didn't have the answer of Jesus, there's no hope. The world hears that they need the law, right, which is the Ten Commandments. The world hears this, and then Paul said this, the law is the tutor before you got saved. And then after you get saved, you're led by grace. And so sometimes when you're talking to an unbeliever, you can talk to them about the law, because they may think they're already righteous without Jesus. And you can explain to them that their righteousness is like filthy rags without Jesus. And then once they have Jesus and they look to Jesus as their Savior and they get baptized, there's a new them. And so I want to look at some scriptures today, because this is what I want for us as a church, is to see Jesus, to be skilled in righteousness. And as we're skilled in righteousness, I believe that we'll become teachers. And what does the teacher look like? Well, that means we have to teach a class. That's not what that means. Jesus was a teacher, and sinners were drawn to him. I really believe that when you're skilled in the word of righteousness, that sinners will be drawn to you. When people feel comfortable around you because you know where you stand with God and you know you're loved, then you can freely love with someone, or love someone the way that Jesus loved you. Amen? Becomes easier, because you go, well, how should I forgive this person? Oh, yeah, I was forgiven. The writer Hebrews says in verse 13, everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. I read this scripture and I thought, you know what? I'm so grateful that the Lord gave me grace in the time of my childhood to really have people speaking into my life. And I want you to know that you can have some people speaking into your life at every season of life. There always can be someone mentoring. I was in a meeting with a guy that was like close to 70 years old in real estate, and he had wrote books, and he wrote all this stuff, and he still has people speaking into his life as mentors. At 70, he'd been doing it for 40, 50 years, and still valued having people speaking into his life. And how much more in the church and the body of Christ do we need one another? Amen? People speaking into our life. Because as we know we're righteous, John told about Jesus, where he's gathering the disciples around. He said, everything the Father tells me, I'm going to tell you. So he's being transparent. And as believers, we can be more transparent as we're skilled in the word of righteousness. Because then we can have relationships with people that they see us as righteous and we see them as righteous. Amen? Okay. Being skilled in righteousness will bring you students, because you're teaching Jesus. I remember growing up, and everything was about, in some of the teachings that I heard, everything was about heaven or hell. I don't know if you guys heard some messages where everything was about heaven or hell. And I want to be careful, because we see that when John said this, to know the Father and the Son is eternal life. To know the Son and the Father, I say John, it's in John, but Jesus said it. To know the Son and the Father is eternal life. And so a lot of times people are trying to get tickets, right? I got my ticket. I said yes to Jesus, I got my ticket to heaven. And God's heart is for heaven to manifest on earth with you. Like there's this partnership that God gets excited about partnering with his son and his daughter, and he's so excited because now he gets to do life with you and heaven gets to happen through you. Like that's his plan. And I love his plan because he loves to include us, and I like to be included. Who here likes to be included? I like to be included. There's this really bad feeling when you're excluded. Like everybody knows about the party but you? Yeah, I don't like that feeling. You ever felt that way? Like, oh my goodness, everybody got the text but me. That's a horrible feeling. And God's not that way where he's including you in his plan for heaven to release heaven through you. So everything that you're doing can give glory to Jesus. And you say, well, Pastor, you say everything, but what about, you know, when I've got this alone time? Yes, even your alone time can give glory to Jesus. In fact, I would say that that's our vision, is that heal the home, heal the world, is even our alone time can give glory to Jesus. It doesn't have to be lifting your hands while you're alone, going, okay, I'm praying and I'm praising at all times. But understanding where you stand with God and knowing and receiving that love. And even if you're just watching a good movie, or you're watching, you know, you're spending time just cuddling, you know, by the fireplace. Y'all remember that fireplace? That happens in Texas at some points. But everything we do gives glory to Jesus because we recognize of what he has done for us. 1 John 5:12 says, whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So when you're speaking to someone, they don't have the Son of God, they don't know how to live heaven to earth. They don't know how to do it. And some Christians struggle with doing heaven to earth because they are not skilled in the word of righteousness. That's where it lies. They don't know how to bring heaven to their marriage. They don't know how to bring heaven to their work or to their boss. They don't know how to bring heaven to any situation in life, and they might bring it to church. But I'm telling you, if those areas, if they don't know how to bring it there, then church could be a place where they want to be encouraged, which is okay to start. Y'all hear me? Church is a great place to start to be encouraged. But the writer of Hebrews says, go to church so that you can encourage someone else. So it's not just about, yes, I get encouraged when I'm around you guys. Did you know that? Pastor Brandon gets encouraged. I love it. Thank you guys. You guys say some of the nicest things. You love my children. You guys are very kind. I love you guys. Jesus is our supply. And out of that supply of righteousness, then we can be encouraging to someone else. Amen? Okay. There was this time in my life where I was teaching my boys to protect women and children. And I'm always teaching them that, but they were becoming men. And I believe that 13 is that pretty strong age where we take them out, we celebrate that you're a man. You're a man. And we just talked about, you know, what does it mean to be a man? You protect the house. And I remember my son was like stepping on bugs because he was protecting the house. I'm protector of the house. And then he's squishing. I'd be like, yeah. But then there was this like caterpillar in the house. And I don't know why, but I'm like really fond of caterpillars. And I was like, no. And then he went, and I was like, oh. So I had to teach him that moment, right? Hey, look, in this, I know this is not in scripture, but this is how I think. This is second opinions. Okay. I think that if it's a spider, kill it. Okay. If it's a cockroach, squish it. But I don't know why, but caterpillars was like, no, dude. So I had to show him, like, no, you pick it up and you let it outside. And I had to think about this. Why am I so, like, it's a snake that's a smaller, no, it's not really a snake. But we know that they become butterflies. We know that they change. And so in my mind, I don't see the caterpillar, I see the butterfly. And my son has never said, look, Dad, there's a butterfly, and smacked it and stepped on it. No, who here is just still like, oh my goodness, look, there's a butterfly. I see them all the time. I'm just like, I have to stop what I'm doing. Oh, there's a butterfly. Like, they're so cool. Like, God's so cool, right? So there's this thing that happened that when you gave your life to Jesus that you transformed. Your old man died. I loved baptism last week. Got me pumped and excited. And I just, because it's a picture of the going in, you know, from the caterpillar to the butterfly. It's that transformation. And some of you may look at that transformation where you gave life to Jesus and you didn't know what you were saying yes to. You didn't know that you actually changed to the butterfly, but Jesus sees you now as the butterfly. He will not speak to you as a caterpillar. He won't do it. He will never do it because he cannot change. And what he says is truth. And I don't care how much you want to crawl on the ground and slide around, you're still a butterfly. It's who you are. There's this scripture in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. It says, the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this. Did you know that the love of Christ controls you? Let me just stop right there. The love of Jesus is what controls you when you give him the control. One has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Now he's writing to the church, and he said, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old passed away, and the new has come. This is the most powerful verse on righteousness, because this is how God speaks to you now. So if God is telling you that you're a new creation, he's not going to do something opposite or say something opposite to not see you that way. Now, your life may be like, I'm going to do things my own way. I control my own life. I control my own finances. I control my own bank account. I control my own emotions. I control everything. I'm in control. That's not what Jesus wants for you. He wants you to see who he is and that he is in control because he loves you. And so you're learning how to let go and trust. You ever seen a kid just try to figure out how to trust you as a parent? Or trust a parent, right? And a loving parent is trustworthy, and they start showing that they're faithful and showing that they're good and they're kind, and it's like, you can trust me that I'm going to cook dinner, and all of a sudden the kid starts trusting that dinner's going to be cooked. I don't know what happened, but there was a transition. It was like, we really are going to cook you dinner, I promise. I know you're hungry and life is ending, but we really are going to cook you. And I know we cook you every night. I know we cook for you every night, right? And tonight, you're having a meltdown. I know you're hungry, but we're still going to cook for you, right? Why? Because they're learning how to handle their emotions, even though you've proven over and over again that you take care of their needs. As a kid, they're like, is this really going to happen? Are we really going to eat? Well, we've eaten 7 days this week at dinner and lunch, and right? I'm trying to prove a point that when you're a child, you're learning how to trust. And that's what we're doing with the Father. So we're learning to trust that who he says we are, we really are. And by the way, it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. And what he'll do is he'll radically, just shock you with kindness. And it won't have anything to do with your performance. And you'll be like, man, I've been working on this for years. And all of a sudden you do things differently. You're like, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to be a child. I'm just going to receive your love. And all of a sudden things begin to move. Because he's like, now you positioned yourself to receive. Now you position yourself to know that you're loved. Doesn't mean that he's not going to give you wisdom of how to put your hands to something, because he may do that. But it does mean that you're going to have to really rely on him for your righteousness. So that when you pray, you don't pray, Lord, bless me because I did this, this, and this. You pray, Lord, I thank you for your blessings because Jesus did this, this, and this. You see the difference? One, we want to be careful that we're not seeking his hand. We're always seeking the promise or the hand of God where he wants us to seek his face. What do I mean by that? If we're seeking his hand, we're going to the Lord in prayer. We're asking, will you fix this? Will you fix this? Will you fix this? Will you fix this? When we're seeking the face of God, we say, thank you that we are this. Thank you that we are this. Thank you that we are this. We're seeing things the way that he sees. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that I can see the love that you have for someone else. So we begin to focus and shift. I said shift. That'll go viral. That's a good one. You could focus your shift. That's possible. Hey, thank you, Stephen. He's got my back. He heard it. You can focus and change what you're doing to be kingdom focused or to build your own kingdom. And if you're building your own kingdom, it's going to be really, really tiring, exhausting. It's going to be a place where there's frustration. Like, you know, the world looks like it's really making a dent, like making progress. But it's making progress in their own kingdom, and the people around them are dying. And the people around them have no life. And you're called to be skilled in righteousness. You're called to be a teacher. And have you ever seen a teacher without students? So Jesus had students that were drawn to him and sinners that were drawn to him. And so as you're maturing in your understanding of your righteousness and who he is for you, you're going to turn around. There's going to be people wanting to draw and learn from you. And they're not necessarily going, hey, can I learn everything that you've done, like as far as, you know, your righteousness, but it's really about learning what Jesus has done for you and his righteousness. Okay? The Holy Spirit speaks to you as a new creation. Jesus said this, if I don't go away, the Helper will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. I heard teachers talk about, oh, pastor, you know, they'd say, you know, you better be careful of the Holy Spirit just convicting them of all these sins. And the truth is that through John 16, Jesus is saying one sin. Do you see this? It doesn't say sins. It's convicting the world of one sin. And that sin, it begins to unfold. And the scripture tells us that that sin is not believing in Jesus. So they don't trust Jesus. They're not giving the control of their life to Jesus. So we want to be able to trust him, amen? And then it says, and righteousness, concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father. Jesus is our high priest, and he is not only our high priest, but our sacrifice. What that means to you and I is that he stands is our mediator. When you go before a judge, you're going to need a lawyer. And not only is he your lawyer, but he took the sentence and the punishment of sin on your behalf. And so then he credited to you all his good works. Whoa! All of it. all of his righteousness he's credited to you. And Abraham got a hold of this earlier, where he believed God and trusted God and what he said about him, and it was credited to him, righteousness. Same thing with you and I. We're sons and daughters. We are the seed of Abraham. So now when we go to the Father, we have a right standing with him. And the Bible says that the prayers of a righteous person availeth much. In other words, you have power in your prayer. So, oh, Pastor, I've got power in my prayer. I'm going to change my financial world. That's good that you're seeking his hands. But what if we could seek his face as well? It doesn't have to be either or. It could be an and. Because you're trusting him. By the way, it's hard to make an impact on people when you don't have finances. It's very difficult. I know, because I wanted to take someone out to eat for lunch, and I had like $3 in my pocket. This was years ago, and I was like, Lord, I don't know how to take them out to eat. And I was really praying that they would take me out to eat, even though I was trying to teach them. It just didn't work very well. Am I the only one that's had a moment like that? So you want to be a blessing where you go, and you want to bring heaven with you, because heaven has an overflow. Amen? You want to be a blessing to people. So the Holy Spirit will speak to you. He will speak through you in gentleness to restore people to follow Jesus. Real quick, let's go back to John 16:7, because I want you to see this. So the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, not sins, but sin, which is not believing in Jesus. And he convicts of righteousness, that you and I, because we're the righteousness of God and Jesus stands. But look at this. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Some Christians believe their role by the Holy Spirit is to judge other Christians. They believe they have a prophetic gift and a calling and a discernment. I mean, I don't know what you want to call it. But they believe that. And there's a moment where we've all been deceived into thinking that was the Holy Spirit taking us into that role. And we have to be careful as parents, too, to have wisdom of how to speak righteousness, but also talk about wisdom and pass a righteousness. So there are some things that we don't want to see our kids do, or those that we're instructing to do. We don't want to see them hurt themselves, because sin hurts people, and it hurts the person doing it. It has consequences. Sin has consequences. Now, heaven's consequences were paid for by Jesus. And earth's consequences, we're asking Jesus to bring heaven to earth and to impact those around us. That's what we're asking. And that's what the Holy Spirit's doing through us. So I'm almost done here. So if you hear, right, because the ruler of the world is judged. So when you're hearing teachers and they're focused on judging the world, right? And they'll say, well, this catastrophe or this hurricane came through because God is judging the sins of this city. Has anybody ever heard something like that? Okay, I want you to be skilled in righteousness. I want you to be skilled in who your Father is and his heart for the world. I want you to be so skilled that when you hear prophets, you might ask some questions like this. Why are prophets seeing a lot of demonic activity and they're not seeing angelic activity? The Bible says that 1/3 of the angels were kicked out, and those are demons. Which my math, my son's getting a math degree, and I'm not the math guy, okay? But I think that 2/3 is bigger than 1/3. Anybody else? Okay. So if 2/3 of the angels are ministering to us, right? Because that's what they do. That's what the word says. Where are the prophecies about seeing all the angels? Should it be where are the books that talk about, man, I just saw so many angels in the church? How many books? In fact, let me share this story with you. I was in a church, and it was a very awesome church, and there was thousands and thousands of people, and I had a friend, he's teaching a class. And when he taught a class, there were like 600, 700 people that show up to the class, like big class. But But this is what he said. If I ever want to fill the class, I'll just teach on demons. Because people are fascinated, Christians are fascinated about demons. Because they want to learn. So you know what that told me in my mind? That Christians are focused on the wrong thing. First off, let's become experts in Jesus, and then we can become experts in other things. But the first things first, let's become experts in Jesus. Amen? Amen. Pastor, you saying there's no demons? I'm telling you, let's become an expert in Jesus. Let's see him. And let's see angels, those that minister. By the way, the angels are just ministering back to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit's pointing to Jesus. And the Father says, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. And he points back to Jesus. Now, Jesus is pointing to the Father, Holy Spirit. You see this? They're all pointing to each other because that's what unity looks like. That's what family looks like. There's a lifting up and an honor and a covering, and it's safe. Thank you, Jesus. So the Holy Spirit will speak through you in gentleness to restore people to follow Jesus. This is my last scripture, and we're closing. Paul's talking to the church of Galatians, and he's telling them how to do church. He's telling them how to listen to the Lord and how to trust them. And he says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual or spiritually mature, right? We can take scripture and interpret scripture. He could say this, you who are skilled in the word of righteousness, you who know that you're a caterpillar, not a caterpillar, but a butterfly, right? Let me get this right. You who know your identity in Christ, then gently restore. Let's go see that. Restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Doesn't that sound like Jesus? A spirit of gentleness. What does that look like? Looks like Jesus. Isn't that how you've fallen and you took a path where you didn't trust Jesus, and then you just need somebody to kind of walk beside you and point you back, right? And this is how I want to be treated. Is this how you want to be treated? With a spirit of gentleness? Yeah. And then he says, keep watch on yourself because you could be tempted. I was counseling someone and they said they were going to make a decision that was going down a path of, I mean, it just wasn't wisdom. And I told them this. I said, I couldn't handle that temptation. I wouldn't put myself in that temptation. Like, there's this idea that, oh, pastors are just, they don't have temptation. No, there's this, it's real for all of us. No matter what level of life we've been through, there's temptation. And so when we restore someone, we say, look, I could be in that situation. I could be in that. And you see yourself as not as someone great, but as someone who is hidden in Christ. And it says you will fulfill the law of Christ, because if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. So let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. What will we be deceived about? We're not trusting Jesus with all the good things that he's trusted us with. We're not giving the Lord the control that he wants to have in our life. We're not thinking about his kingdom. Maybe we're possibly seeking just his hand and not his face. And there's a gentleness that will restore us when we do life together. He says, the ones that God's not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. Because one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. You sow to the Spirit by sowing into Jesus. By giving your life to Jesus, this is what you did. You said, I trust you, Jesus, with my life. And I give you control. And then he says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap. And if we do not give up, so then, as we have opportunity, let's do good to everyone. Let's do good to everyone. And then he says, look, by everyone, also especially the household of faith. It's so important that we treat the body of Christ and share good things and do good to them. Because Jesus said, they will know you're my learners by your love for one another.
Thank you for listening to Grace for Eternity Church podcast, where we believe heal the home, heal the world.